Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 25th day of October, 2021, and we have a special blow them up, blow them out, have yourself a Built Bar, and have yourself some fun World Series preview. That's right. We have the World Series that everybody wanted to see, which is the Atlanta Braves versus your Houston Astros. And I am not going to be doing the heavy lifting. I am merely a host today because today, can you believe it? Do you believe in miracles? I am bringing on board from Locked On Astros, H-Town Wheelhouse, my dear friend. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Sully. Thanks for having us on. We are back in our third World Series in the last five seasons, and it is a great time. It is a great time.
Well, when you say us, there's only one. Oh, wait. No, there's another. That would be Eric Heisman. There he is, also from Locked On Astros. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to renew this rivalry we had back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Chris Burke, an 18-inning game that we all remember to this day.
As do I. But you know what? This feels a little unfair. Yes, I grew up in New England. Yes, the Braves were originally a Boston team, but the Bean Eaters are long gone. Who could we get to represent the Braves? Hey, it's Jake Mastroianni of Locked On Braves. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing great. So thanks for having me on. And we're starting this thing off wrong, talking about Chris Burke and extra innings right now. That is not what Braves fans want to hear.
No, Braves fans want to hear about Walt Weiss stopping a ground ball hit by Tony Eusebio. Ladies and gentlemen, I pulled that out from memory that the Astros look like they're on the verge of taking a stunning 2-1 lead against the Atlanta Braves in 1999 that would have done the impossible, and that is actually win a postseason series in the Astrodome, something that never happened. Never happened. They had to go to Towels Hill to finally see a playoff series victory. But guess what, folks? We're done with that. We're done talking about that. The first ever Astros postseason victory, if I'm not mistaken, was the 2004 National League Division Series against
the Braves. Hey, oh, by the way, in that game, in that 1999 game, who got the winning hit for the Braves? Do you know?
Let's see if I can remember. Was it, I'm going to say Brian Jordan.
Yes, it was a double in the 12th inning.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow. From memory. Ask me where my car keys are. No idea. But I can tell you about Tony Eusebio's grounder up the middle in a game in Houston against Houston Atlanta. I'm neither a Brave nor an Astros fan, which makes me the ideal person to talk about this. So let's go through this. The Astros beat the Red Sox. The Red Sox bats, let me put it this way. They hit three grand slams in two games and then got three hits in the last game. They had as many runs in the final three games as they hit grand slams in those 2 days. Tough to win a series like that, and you have to give the Astros all the credit in the world for that in the most unlikely place, which was their pitching staff. Their starting staff turned out some great starts, and their bullpen was absolutely unhittable. That's what we have going into the World Series now.
So I think the Houston Astros, I look at this team compared to the 19 team and the 17 team and the 05 and 04 team, and this team has done more to get to where they are. They have fought more adversity. I don't know that this is the most talented World Series team, but I think it is the most battle tested. And I think those two games where the Red Sox absolutely pummeled the Astros is a good thing. Adversity in baseball is a good thing. Framber and Luis throwing absolute stinkers of games was a good thing. And Brent Strom went back with his pitchers and said, okay, let's look at the Red Sox swinging. Let's look at what they do when you throw this pitch, when you throw that pitch, and they made adjustments. And JD Martinez, game recognized game, said that, said so. He was unhittable. And it was a great series. I really thought it was going to go to a full game, you know, 7-game series. But the Red Sox bats, like I said on the podcast, somebody took the Red Sox offense, threw it away in a basement, and we haven't seen it since then.
And don't forget about Martin Maldonado and Jake Odorizzi. They, after that that second game against the Braves, the Red Sox, where they lost, they both stepped up and said, "Hey guys, we can't let this happen. We can't give up. Remember last year? Remember this time? We are a team that battles adversity, and we are always coming up on top most of the time. And so we can handle this. We have been here before. We are battle tested, like Brett said. And the team responded. And yeah, it wasn't all at once, but they did it slowly but surely. But Framber Valdez, that was the big key. Him going 8 innings, where he did not even go, 5 batters or something. And
they took him out in the second inning in his first start. Yeah.
So that was a big key.
But you also got that great start from Luis Garcia in the clincher game. Of all the big name pitchers who've gone in this series, who are the two really quality starts that you get? Would be Valdez and Garcia. Go to Bet Online. And if you would put money on that, you would be able to afford a townhouse in Russian Hill in San Francisco right now. And I think that that's how I judge wealth. But the fact of the matter is they – I do think that there's a symbiotic relationship. If you get a decent start, it helps the bullpen. Their bullpen was not worn to the teeth by the end of the series, and so they remained effective. I thought the minute the – well, I thought that once Lance McCullers went down – I thought it became an evenly matched series. I did pick the Astros in 6, but Framber Valdez picked up the mantle for McCullers.
Yeah, he did. And that was key. That's everybody in Houston was like, great. I mean, we've all known Verlander's not there. And then, we've got Bregman back. He's healthy. But it was also the offense, picked things up. And we'll talk later on. Yordan Alvarez drove his car into an ALCS MVP.
Oh, he was a one-man wrecking crew. But do you know what? The Astros, actually, this is a little-known fact, are not in the World Series by themselves. The Atlanta Braves are also in the World Series. And the Braves beat the team that I thought was going to win the World Series. Not the Dodgers, but the Brewers. I thought that exactly what was going to happen between San Francisco and LA was going to happen, that they're going to have a 5-game series and they would be beaten, bruised, and battered. But I thought the Brewers starting pitching was going to carry them past Atlanta. I thought they were going to sweep them. And then they would catch a beleaguered team from California. As it turned out, that's what the Braves did. So, Jake, talk us through a little bit of how this team, which people are focusing on the 88 wins and they were a losing team at the trade deadline, but remember, after the trade deadline, this was one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, you're talking about battle-tested, and I know that's the theme for the Astros. I mean, this Braves team, I don't know how you can be any more battle-tested. They lost 2 of their top 4 hitters pretty early in the year. Ronald Acuña Jr., who I think was going to run away with the NL MVP. They lost Marcelo Ozuna really early in the year until legal issues, hasn't been back. They were hoping to get Mike Soroka back in April, maybe even May. He was going to be there.
Pitch?
No, he didn't pitch at all this year. Right. He's their best starter. So, I mean, that's 3 of your best players, and you played a lot most of the year without any of them. And, credit to Alex Anthopoulos, at the trade deadline, they were like 5 games back, under 500, and he still made the move to go for it. And, a little luck in there too. Everybody he traded for, whether it's Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, they have all stepped up and been just great. Like, not even just good. They've all been great. That doesn't always happen that way. So, you got to give them a lot of credit for that. And yeah, you talk about going into the postseason. I mean, this is a team that got hot at the right time. I mean, they were still under 500, early August. So, I mean, they got hot at the right time. I think a lot of people underestimated their starting pitching coming into the postseason.
I did.
Yeah. Because they matched up right with the Brewers, and I covered the Brewers as well. They have the best, what I thought, or I still believe, was the best pitching in all of baseball. And the Braves went toe for toe with them starting pitching wise, and just had enough offense to outscore them. All those games were close. But the Dodgers series, I mean, again, you talk about being battle tested. They go up 2-0, win those two games at home, blow game three in a huge momentum swing with Cody Bellinger hitting that three-run homer. And you thought, here we go again. They're going to blow another lead to the Dodgers. Dodgers are going to get over them. But they come back, fight back, win the next night. Then they get blown out the next night and come back and win it. So, I mean, this Braves team, I mean, they've been through it all this year. But they just have that mentality. They all talk about how much they love playing for each other. And you can see it in the way that they do fight for each other in that team.
All right, I'm going to say two things here, especially because I was watching it here in Los Angeles County amongst a lot of Dodger fans. I can't tell you how many Dodger fans were saying, well, we've got injuries, we've got injuries. And I said, yeah, they don't have Acuna Jr.
Yeah.
Okay? They had to cut and paste. I played three games in the outfield for the Braves this year.
Yeah, and I mean, we had Abraham Almonte starting in center field for a majority of the season with Guillermo Heredia. They tried to put Orlando Arcia out there. I mean, it was really rough for a while.
But one of the great things about – I mean, I was talking about this on another podcast was that – it just shows that you can't do something like who won the trade deadline. You can't evaluate that in July or August. You have to wait till now because the Braves won the trade deadline. That they acquired Peterson. They acquired Rosario for Pablo Sandoval. Yeah. You know, they acquired their entire outfield was playing for different teams in July. And so when people are saying, oh, the Dodgers won with Scherzer and Trey Turner, or the Mets won by picking up, who did they pick up? Was it Reyes? And, you know, all these stars that went around. No. The Braves won. The Braves won the trade deadline. And an intelligent thing that he did was he wasn't going for the splashy moves. He said, let's just make sure we have a ton of injuries. Let's make sure there's a major leaguer at every position.
Right.
And no. That's exactly what happened. And the Braves took advantage of the Mets' collapse, and then you know had played one of the best records in baseball after the trade deadline.
You know, I'm glad you guys are bringing that up because the Dodgers like gave away their top prospect for two frontline stars. I mean, who wouldn't want Trey Turner and Max Scherzer on your team for a World Series run? And I said when they made that trade, if they don't make the World Series and win it, that's a bust of a trade. And Eddie Rosario, if anybody had any pre-inclinations that he was going to turn out to be the NLCS MVP.
He was injured when the Braves
traded for him. Exactly. So it's like, you know, and that's why I think both these ball clubs are in it, because it's not about who has the most talent. It's about who's doing the most late. Like, what have you done for me lately? We saw the Nationals make that surprising run in 2019. Now, I don't think the Braves are as strong as that national team, but the Astros aren't taking the Braves lightly because they're in the World Series. They are the best team in the National League.
And that you were talking about talented Astros team. I think the 2019 team was the most talented one. I personally think that they had Brantley on that team. They had Gerrit Cole on that team. You know, they had the experience of the World Series under.
They had belt. Springer. They had all those
Springer,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they had every. They were full. I mean, they made. There were some injuries here and there, but I think when I look at just the top to bottom of that team was pretty great. But you know, it's great to watch these games. I got to ask you guys this question about watching games. I want to do any of you find this scenario to be familiar? That you got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, you got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. I want to tell you three guys and everyone else watching or listening, there's a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to get your TV together. Do you guys know what it's called?
DirecTV Stream.
DirecTV Stream. And yes, it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So can you watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. And that means no more juggling remotes. And you don't need to buy another device ever again. Ever. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the confusion. And get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. And guess what, folks? I got to tell you this. Compatible devices required. And content varies by package. That's DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream. Okay. We're back to the podcast.
Here. Nice jingle. Yeah, almost as good as Buy Minin.
Yeah, well, they are not a sponsor. So let's take a look at some of the key matchups, because this is an interesting matchup of teams, because these aren't the best teams from the regular season. And these may not even be the best teams that the Astros or Braves have put on the field this year. I personally think there is some evenly matched areas with their bullpens, I think, are similar. I think they both have lineups that can have score in bursts. And I think that they each have a couple of starting pitchers that are interesting. By the way, I don't know if the Astros fans are familiar with one of the Braves starting pitchers. His name is Charlie Morton. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Game one starter, Charlie Morton. Yeah.
By the way, I this is the only time I'm bringing this up in this entire episode, but there will be a lot of people booing the Astros and saying, come on, Charlie Morton, I'm cheering you on because I hate the 2017 Astros, not realizing that Charlie Morton was the pitcher on the mound when they clinched the 2017 World Series. You boo uniforms, folks. That's all it is. You're booing laundry. And I swear to H-Town and Eric, that's the only reference I'm going to be making to that, because there's enough written said about, and Astros Twitter already hates my guts. So back to the keys. Charlie Morton is starting game one for the Astros. No, with the Braves. He's starting with the Braves. Wouldn't that be weird? They trade for him right at the end.
Yeah, they trade for him. Right.
He rips off, I'm still an Astro at heart.
That would be a game changer. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Did Morton pitched against the Astros last year with the Rays, right?
Yeah, yes. He got shelled.
He did get shelled. Okay.
Three innings. He was gone. We're not afraid of Charlie Morton. The Astros have Framber Valdez going game one.
Okay. That's a really good starting pitching matchup there. Who do you think has the edge? You know, it's almost like starting pitching almost doesn't matter anymore, which is kind of bums me out. But both teams having it. You've got Fried, Morton. You guys have Valdez. You have good starters on your team. It would be a little different if McCullers was pitching, but how do you think let's just talk about the pitching as a whole. How do you think the key matchups are and the key starts are?
I think the pitching has to be what carries the Braves in this series. The Astros are going to hit. I think the Braves will be able to score. I don't think they're really scared of the pitching other than maybe just unfamiliarity with them. But I think, yeah, exactly. But I think, if the Braves are going to win this series, it's going to have to be behind their pitching and mostly their starting pitching. They're going to have to get deep outings from Morton, Fried, and Anderson, which it looks like Cal is going to line up games 1 through 3. You know, if they're getting those guys consistently into the 5th and 6th inning, you know, the bullpen has stepped up lately. That was probably the biggest weakness for the Braves coming into the postseason. But A.J. Minter, Tyler Matzek, Will Smith all looked really good, all from the left side. So that could be key with some of the Astros righties. The Braves really don't have a right-handed pitcher to come out of the bullpen right now, but their lefties can get out either side. That hasn't been a problem for them. But I do think if the Braves are going to win this series, it's going to be because of their pitching.
Now, H-Town and Eric, before you go on, I have to tell you that last night I was in a tavern in Santa Monica with a bunch of Dodger fans. And Tyler Matzek, I'm going to have to sit down and really think about this, about the best relief performances in a key situation.
It's never been done before, Sully. They say that's the first time that's ever been done.
He came in 2nd and 3rd, nobody out. They could have tied the game without a hit.
In the postseason, yeah.
Yeah, in the postseason, yeah. But 2nd, 3rd, nobody out with a ground ball to 2nd and a deep fly ball could have tied the game. A single would have tied the game instantly. One of the batters they faced was Mookie Betts. And Matzek came in, the place was going bananas, and he struck out the side and then got the next 3 batters as well. The last 9 batters the Dodgers put up there recorded outs. But I'm having a hard time remembering a relief performance at that key moment where if the Dodgers tied the game there, they're probably winning, and we're probably watching a baseball game tonight. Truthfully, we're recording on Sunday evening. And so what Matzek did, and Minter was great, and Smith was great as well. But what Matzek did was really one of the most terrific relief performances that I can remember watching in a postseason game.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. My only worry for him is that if his arm's going to fall off, he's pitched in every postseason game except for one. It was actually kind of a blessing in disguise. The Braves got blown out in game 5. It gave him 2 days off with the travel day. But, I mean, other than that, he's been used in every game. Now he's starting to go multiple innings, but he's been that good. He's been that dominant for the Braves.
All right, H-Town and Eric, you know, I obviously watched a lot of the, you know, I watched every pitch of the Red Sox Astros series, and I could tell you that it was the, Garcia was great, Framber Valdez was great. Was it Christian Javier? I mean, like, there's so many pitchers who just did the job well. What are your thoughts on the pitching staff as a whole going into this World Series?
Well, looking at the stats, I know the Braves in the playoffs have a 3.41 ERA. The Astros have a 4.50. But if you look at it, if you take away the two Grand Slam games, I'm pretty sure that they will be a little bit more comparable. As a math teacher, that's what I would be looking at. But the Astros have outslugged teams a little bit in the playoffs, definitely in the White Sox series, and definitely a little bit in the last couple of games versus the Red Sox. But the Astros have been relying on their bullpen. James Click went out, and he made some bargain bin trades at the trade deadline, bringing in Yimi Garcia, then Phil Maton, and then a couple other guys. And these guys are getting it done. But Christian Javier was the big key to the last series, because in that game four, when Zach Greinke only was able to go, one and one-third innings, Christian Javier, I know he didn't come in that inning, but he was able to be that bridge, so that way the Astros didn't have to burn the bullpen. And so the situation the Astros have had is they have a good bullpen. I would say that the Braves have maybe the better starters. They may be able to go deeper in games. And the Astros, I think, at this point would have the better bullpen. But if we see Framber Valdez do what he did against the Red Sox in second game, Luis Garcia go 5-6 innings, and Jose Urquidy, he's going to be the key. If he can go 5 innings, I think, and be effective, the Astros have a pretty good chance of winning the World Series. Now, the Zach Greinke game, that's going to be the big key, is how deep he can go. I know he pitched a simulated game. He threw 50 pitches today. That's probably the most he's thrown since he was on the IL, for two stints at the end of the season. That's why he's not in rotation. If you don't have him, maybe you throw Jake Odorizzi or somebody else in that situation. Maybe even Christian Javier, because he's looked great. But Javier's such a dominant weapon out of bullpen. So the Astros have rebuilt the bullpen, and this is why.
And this is one of the keys that I want to focus on Christian Javier, give him a lot of credit, because I have criticized the Astros all season long. I said, y'all are breaking this starting pitcher. Last year, he was a Rookie of the Year candidate as a starter. You throw him to the bullpen for whatever reason, and he has not been effective. During the regular season, he was abysmal. And sometimes players can't make that shift mentally. It doesn't mean they're not talented. It doesn't mean they don't have the stuff. But baseball is between the ears more than it is from the shoulder to the wrist. And so Javier, give him credit. Give Stromy credit. Give Murphy, all their pitching staff credit. Whatever they did to help him figure things out in the playoffs, he has come in and he's been nails, and he's wanted to be reliable. He's wanted to be that guy. And he just kept getting put in tough situation after tough situation. And those are the things that when the playoffs matter, it's the little things. It's the unsung heroes. It's not the superstars. It's the team. It's every pitcher. It's next man up. And that's what it takes to win a title. That's why I feel very, very confident going into this 2021 World Series.
It kind of reminds me of what El Duque Hernandez was when he pitched for the Yankees in the late 90s, early 2000s. If you look at his regular season stats, he was okay. Wasn't a bad pitcher. But he just a light flipped on. And there's so many instances, both out of the bullpen and as a starter, where he just – I know he killed the Red Sox in several series. And he just was someone who you wanted on the mound. And both Framber Valdez, who – basically saved the Astros postseason in 2020 by that wonderful game out of the bullpen against Minnesota. And Christian Javier, save for one game against the Rays in last year's postseason, has been lights out against Oakland, against Tampa, against Chicago, against Boston, wherever you throw him. He had one bad game against the Rays. And he's really he's a great weapon. And to talk about weapons, let's talk a little bit about the lineup. You can't bank on Eddie Rosario having the October of his life. So, the Albies and the Freemans and the Swansons have to start picking it up.
Yeah, and that's true. But they also face probably the two best pitching staffs in all of baseball in their first two series. So, I mean, there's a lot of players in the Braves that have been struggling. You talked about Dansby Swanson. He's somebody that has to get going. Travis d'Arnaud is hurt right now. He is kind of an automatic out at this point. Those two guys are key at the bottom of the order. If they don't get going, there's going to be a big black hole at the bottom of the lineup. But other guys as well, I mean, Adam Duvall can get going. Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley are key. Riley had some big moments, but also kind of cooled off there in LA. So, you know, if those guys get going, get clicking as well. And the DH, I think, is going to help the Braves because they're going to be able to put Jorge Soler back in there as well. He missed 10 days, pretty much missed all of the NLCS because of COVID. So getting him back, he looked really good. And he had two at-bats since he came back, but he looked really good. And his last one was able to get a hit. So I think adding his bat to the lineup with the DH in Houston is just going to help that offense. So, yeah, I mean, there's guys there that have to step up. I mean, Rosario and Freeman pretty much carried them in that NLCS. So the rest of the lineup is going to have to pick things up because they are going to have to keep up with the scoring that the Astros are going to do.